The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 63 degrees, not a chemtrail in the sky. Don't get me started, but the Crazy Gene is here because even though it is Wheels Up Wednesday, it's also kind of a partial conspiracy theory Wednesday too, since I'm not going to be here tomorrow. All right, Gene, fire away before we bring on Mr. Outdoors, Mr. Heat, Mr. Hurricane. Okay?
Okay, well, I just heard a rumor that back in Vietnam they even had them. There's contact lenses that you can display messages on. And I was just wondering, being Biden's eyes looked a little strange in the way he was acting, blinking and opening his eyes really wide. Was he wearing contact lenses? Was he getting messages?
That's an interesting question. In other words, he's getting answers even fed to him during the debate, is kind of what you're thinking, with the black eyes and everything. Okay. I couldn't answer that. That's a really interesting question, though. Now, we've had the whole idea of displaying in science fiction movies and various other things, in DARPA kind of theme movies, that they can do this. So I can't answer that, but I don't know. Maybe someone who is in the know in the military world can tell us, okay? We'll find out. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Stand by. Mr. Outdoors, Mr. Heat, Mr. Hurricane. We'll kick it all around in a special outdoor report next.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Since 1979, Dusty's Transmissions has been your go-to transmission experts, proudly serving our region for over 40 years. This family-owned, award-winning business has grown to become the largest specialized transmission and gear train shop from Portland to Sacramento. With 10 lifts and a custom remanufacturing facility, they're equipped to get you back on the road quickly. Dusty's Transmissions keeps inventory stocked, minimizing downtime and saving you money. Trust the experts at Dusty's, 250 North Front Street, Central Point.
Dusty's Transmission. You'll always find me hanging around there.
Dreaming of moving to your dream property in the county? Most rural properties rely on a well. Clouser Drilling is here to make sure your dream doesn't turn into a nightmare. Before, you want to make sure the well is producing plenty of water. If a new well is needed, making sure the property has good water is vital. Clouser Drilling can help. They have drilled thousands of wells in Southern Oregon and can help you make an informed decision. Clouser Drilling can perform research, schedule an on-site visit, and provide free estimates based on your area. Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Here he is, Mr. Hurricane. Instead of Mr. Well, he's still Mr. Outdoors, and also Mr. Fire and Mr. Heat, and yes, you're all there. Greg Roberts, RogueWeather.com. How you doing this morning, Greg? Welcome back.
Create a tag. It's probably going to fit some way. I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who've got some really interesting names for me. So,
I imagine they do. In fact, a lot of people. I was talking about that. You know, we were talking about the chemtrails the other week, and people got all hot and bothered, and they want you to debate Dean Winnington or Wigington or whatever his name is. You know, the chemtrail guy. And I'm trying to tell everybody about this, that my take on it is that I know geoengineering goes on. Yes, I know there are patents. Yes, I know there are budgets. I also know that every time I see a line in the sky, it's not a chemtrail every time.
Right.
You know, it just gets exhausting. And I'm saying, if you see evidence that you are concerned about, take your evidence and take your science and go to your county commissions and your board of supervisors and get an ordinance passed like they did over in Illinois. Some town over in Illinois, or back east, they did this.
Yeah, it was Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then we can start working on it that way. But, you know, trying to get me to hyperventilate every time I see a contrail is not going to be great policy either. That's all I'm getting at. Okay? That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And I know it's not the normal looking skies. Yes, I know. Okay, the contrail, and then it spreads out and it blankets out. Yes, I know. You know, there have been times that some funny things happened. I remember that there was stuff falling out of the sky when my mother was living in Ashland a number of years ago. And there were claims at that point. I think I was working on KZZE, this same signal, but it was, a rock station at that time. And my mother calls me up and said, you know, it's interesting. Oregon Health called me and was trying to find out, what was going on with with colds and flu and really bad diseases spreading at that time. They were like doing a survey or something and said, "Oh, you're talking about the stuff that's been falling out of the sky here?" You know, and they hung up on her, you know, at that at that point. So I wouldn't be surprised that there have been some experiments going on. But on the other hand, I also can't spend my time focused on it. There are talk shows and television shows that work that stuff all the time. It's their wheelhouse. It's not mine, okay? All right. So, let's go into your wheelhouse right now, which happens to be what's going on with our heat dome here over the next few days. What do you say?
Well, you know, it was really interesting watching what happened back east a couple weeks ago when they had their heat dome. And then you started looking at where temperatures were actually landing versus average, and then where records were at. And through all of the hullabaloo, what we saw mostly was temperatures fall a degree short or tie, but the percentage of new records set was far less than what you, listening to the media, would make it sound like was happening.
Is there a case to be made that perhaps the length of the excessive heat might have been, you know, something that was real when you contrast it with perhaps the records?
It might have been the length, but on the other hand, theirs was over much faster than ours is going to be. And here's what's funny is, and of course, because it's the West Coast, nobody's paying attention to it, at least in terms of the mass mainstream media. And yet, as I look at it, and especially this morning, now seeing National Weather Service has forecast Saturday's high to be 113.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you look at our all-time hottest recorded temperature by National Weather Service in Medford was 115 on July 20th, 1946, and then we equaled that in June a couple of years ago, and forgive me, it's not right on the top of my head. See, July 20th, 1946, by sheer repetition, that got cemented into my head. So 115 is your highest National Weather Service recorded temperature here in Medford. Back in 1946, there was another recording station that was the OSU Extension Office that, if you know where Experiment Station Road is, off of Kings Highway in the south end of Medford and getting out into the county right on the fringe of the south end of Medford, when Medford National Weather Service office reported 115 on July 20th, 1946, OSU Extension Office had 116.
Oh, okay.
You will get temperature swings in this valley, just within this valley, of 5 degrees. When we hit 115 officially at the Medford National Weather Service office in June a couple of years ago, I had people bombarding me, sending me pictures of their thermometers, some not properly sighted, meaning too much direct sun exposure or over artificial heat like concrete and asphalt, as high as 122.
Okay.
So when I looked, and the thing's baking, right, in direct sunlight, or you can see concrete and asphalt really close to it, tend not to give that too much weight. But I did have others taken that, in the shade, looked like properly sighted thermometers. I'm going, okay.
So you have it over grass or bare ground, not concrete, not a heat-absorbing and radiating kind of material. That would make sense. Sure.
Yeah, I was seeing plenty of 116, 117, and I even saw one 118 out just to the east of Eagle Point.
Okay.
So that's an idea of what temperature swings will look like around the valley, and it happens every day, every season. It is part of why it is such a challenge to forecast here, because the microclimating kicks in. And you're going to get a broad range of temperatures. So, you know, when people are flashing up these graphic images from the TV stations and the other sources and going, oh, my gosh, look at this heat. Well, yeah, and it could be even hotter than that. And it may actually be cooler than that, because pretty typically they're taking a single point area and saying there's your specific high. I've never, ever done that in the whole time I've had rogue weather.
I'm kind of curious what a, if you were to actually take that 115 degree from 1946, right? 1946. Mm-hmm. You got to figure, in those days, there was much less development, much more trees, yep. much more agriculture going on, much fewer or much less concrete, much less asphalt,
right.
you know, going on. The urban heat island wasn't as much in effect. I'm wondering if there is a way to model that and adjust it to what the equivalent would be right now, because 118 degrees now might be the equivalent of 115 back then when you adjust for the fact that there's just asphalt and black tar paper everywhere, you know? I mean, it's a completely
exactly right.
different kind of city, and yet we still measure. In fact, I was reading one of the biggest challenges when it comes to truly getting accurate temperature readings everywhere is that when you look back at historical records were in very undeveloped times, and they have these thermometers in the same places, and then everything's gotten hot and developed around them. And so it's a,
right.
it's not apples to oranges any longer. See what I'm getting at?
Well, we have two stations within the Medford National Weather Service zone. There's a total of seven that Medford National Weather Service has what they call their archive data points. And no, Grants Pass, sorry, you're not one of them, and it's not anything malicious against you. It's just the way that happened to work out. But Montague and Alturas are both really unchanged, and in fact, both are probably lower in population, meaning people have moved away.
Oh, yeah, everything was better in Alturas 50 years yeah. ago, let's be honest, economically, okay? Even though I love the town, I really do.
When I look at Alturas and Montague and I watch their daily records and I look at some temperature points from those two, it gets really fascinating because they've had some warming gradually, mm-hmm. but it's nothing compared to Medford. And so many people, and you know who I'm talking about, will get all worked up going, even here in Medford, look at the amount of warming we've had. Yeah, well, look at the amount of the heat island impact we've had, mm-hmm. and they never want to mention that, ever.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Alan Journay and the SoCan people are saying, well, we can make it cooler here, just send more money to Salem and turn in your car, that kind of thing.
And if that is going to be proven to work anywhere, that'll be the first time in history, because we don't have the ability as humanity to set the atmosphere, if you will, like you can set the atmosphere in your home. And yet that is exactly what these people are attempting to do.
You have to understand, though, the progressive mindset is very much in that technocratic thing. You know, our litany of experts will be able to find the proper temperature for the world,
right.
and we'll deliver it. We also know the proper population level, too. Give us our certain policies. We'll make sure we get that, too. But that's a Bill Gates problem.
Exactly. Situations like we're going to deal with this prolonged heat wave, because once we crack 105 tomorrow, I don't see that we get below 105 again for at least the next 7 days.
Really?
So the duration of this, especially for early July, is going to be significant. And also what's going to be very significant is I don't see us just running up and getting close to or tying records here. They're going to get smashed. We're
okay.
looking at smashing temperature records in Medford. And when I say smashed, by at least 4 degrees higher than the previous record. We didn't see anything like that back east when everybody was freaking out that the whole world was melting. This wasn't even anything close.
I've noticed, though, they're not making nearly as much noise about our heat dome as they were back east. Must be because
right.
The major media centers, New York, Chicago, things like that, right? Washington.
And the other side of this is I also see people acting like, oh, it's a big deal. It always gets hot here in Medford. It's summertime. True, but it doesn't get this hot this early. Now, I'm not going to say this is a sign of anything because, remember, we were just talking about the fact we hit 115 in Medford just a couple of years ago mm-hmm. in June.
Right.
Once we had that early hot bubble, we actually cooled down for the rest of the summer. And this may very well turn out to be that yet again. People are also freaking out going, oh my gosh, this is going to be a terrible summer. No, we're going to have about a terrible 7 to 10 day period as it stands. But I don't know that this is going to extend all the way through the summer. Because if it did, we've never seen that. Now, back in 1981, in August, we had an 8 day period that we called the Inferno because it was 105 or higher for 8 straight days. And in the middle of that run, we hit 114 on the 11th of August. And I remember that very well, because the Oakland A's had their farm team here in Medford at that point, and I was working for them, and I was working my tail off during the game trying to keep the players cool, yes, but also trying to keep the umpires cool down. Because we started, and when we finished that game that we played that night, just before 10 p.m., we were still at 90 degrees.
Now,
at 10 o'clock.
Yes, at 10 o'clock. Now, we've been getting, at least even though hot days, they've been relatively cool at night. Will we still be getting relief, or will the relief be getting down to like 70 rather than the low 60s?
That is exactly why we've got the excessive heat warnings up in Jackson and Josephine counties. You have heat advisories in Douglas County, and it's all going to be about where the overnight temps land, because compared to, quote, normal, no, we're going to be staying very elevated in temperatures. This is definitely one of these times where Medford be upper 60s, around 70. Grants Pass be the same. Roseburg will probably be landing somewhere low to mid 60s. And that's what keeps Roseburg from having the excessive heat warning, is the fact their overnight temps are going to be just low enough that a heat advisory will be issued. But, you know, especially here, Medford, Grants Pass, overnight, it's going to be really warm. And because we're not going to see the type of cooling we would typically see, and combined with where the daytime temps are going to be, you know, for example, Saturday in Roseburg right now, we're looking for 107, while we're looking for 113 in Medford. So Roseburg heat advisory, med excessive heat warning, and the same thing applies over in Josephine County.
All right. I guess the real question will be, can the grid take the strain? And Pacific Power, I'm sure, will have everything generating that they can. You know, we'll see.
That's a good question. And then the other question will be, will PP&L do what PG&E is doing in California right now? And before there was even any fires, PG&E, they've got the brownout. I was going to say blackout, but Officially it's brownout. PG&E is browning out big portions of Northern California, and they're looking at even higher heat than we're going to have.
And then you have the fire danger, too.
Yep.
And it's we have to be careful this weekend.
Yeah, and we did have that new fire breakout between the city of Oroville and, you know, the reservoir there yesterday. And while the wind was blowing, that thing took off. And it got over 2,000 acres real quick last night. I looked at it around 9 o'clock, and the fire had laid down pretty well. And another thing that happened was it burned right straight to the reservoir. It got right there. So the reservoir is helping, you know, stop the momentum of that fire, and they're probably going to have a good opportunity to get some work done in certain sections. But, yeah, they were dumping everything they can on it. And California has the second highest resource amount for fighting fires outside of the U.S. Forest Service.
All right. Well, let's do our best and pray for few to no lightning strikes. Are we looking at thunderstorm activity possibility or not?
That is the only bit of good news with this. I'm not seeing any thunderstorm potential from now through the end of next week.
Good.
The 10-day. There's
good.
Nothing there
all
at
right.
all.
That's good. That's actually good news.
The stupid starts. And the stupid starts, what I mean is the pickaxe, the horseshoe, the chain. Somebody's driving down the road with a trailer, and they have the safety chains, and they don't properly secure them, that type of thing. there's going to be other things that will happen beyond people's control. Your catalytic converter suddenly starts shooting hot carbon out into roadside grass. That kind of thing you can't prevent. Taking good care of your campfires if you're going camping, making sure they're dead out before you leave them, absolutely. And I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. You probably ought to put your illegal fireworks away for New Year's because people are going to do it. Heck, we've had them going off every night for the last three nights in our neighborhood. But the reality is you shouldn't do it because with the heat, with the breezes, this is a recipe for disaster this year like we have not seen in a while. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm going to be that guy. Don't do your illegal. Save them for New Year's. You'll still have plenty of fun going boom, bang.
Oh, yeah, the illegals don't tend to cause trouble on New Year's. But this time of year, yeah, when they're flying, landing on people's roofs, going into the gutters with the pine needles and everything, it's just yep. a bad recipe, all right? I'll yep. even tell you, though, sometimes I had mentioned this on Facebook briefly yesterday, Greg, that I'm driving down Barnett, and there's a woman in the white GMC Yukon next to me. Got her nice red nails and her big rocks on her fingers, right? And she's and she's smoking her cigarette and throwing the ashes out the window. I'm thinking, what? Really? You think this is sort of routine? This is what you do in a fire? Now, granted, there's no grass in that particular neighborhood, but if she's doing it on Barnett, she could be doing it on Foothill or any of the other places where you really could start a conflagration pretty easily, really.
With most of the smokers I know that engage in that habit of driving and smoking and then chucking their cigarette, it is such a reflex thing. They'll do it and then don't even think about it, and they're not even really aware that they did.
Yeah, you could be right about that. Could be right. But, boy, I'm just thinking, oh, man, please, you know, try to keep that activity down. You know, this is an example of just really bad, dumb human behavior. But I think I have a feeling you're right. It's probably just reflexive behavior. Most of the time, you're not even really thinking about it. All right. So, Greg, before we take off, I want to just ask you, though, Medford Rogues, of course, are going to be playing, you know, a lot this weekend. Yeah. And I imagine that there might be some changes to the schedule a little bit just to try to keep the players and the umpires and the fans really from having to be out there in the peak of all the heat this weekend. So any news on that yet?
Right. And, you know, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to be a company boy, and I'm going to let, you know, the Rogues officially announce it. But here's what I know. We started having conversations, and when I say we, myself and the owners, on Tuesday, and said, hey, look, Monday, because today's Wednesday. I said, here's what our situation looks like. Here's what our temperature profiles are going to look like. This is not going to be too far away from what we had to deal with back in June in, I think it was 2022, now that I'm really thinking about it. But I said, we made modifications then. In terms of when game time started, I think we would be very wise to be doing that now. And so we are looking at some altered game times, but we need to make sure all of our staff is going to be on board and able to make it. We also know we're going to have a significant out-of-town component because we're playing the Humboldt Crabs in a league series, and the Humboldt fan base has always traveled well up here. They show up in Medford, a lot of them. This year, the Rogues invited their band, the Crabgrass Band, to show up. Those guys are absolutely insane in a good way. They are so much fun. Their music's great. They're going to be here for the whole series. So it's not going to be your typical homestand for the Rogues. I do know that the Rogues reached out to Rockin' Rentals in Grants Pass. We upped the amount of splash pools that we're going to have for Friday, and we booked them again for Saturday. So people show up knowing you're going to have the opportunity to jump in the splash pools and cool off, and you know
you're going to take care of the people, I guess is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Okay, all right,
exactly.
All right, that's great. Hey, Greg, can you hang on for just a minute through a quick break, and then people have some questions for you, and we'll keep it going. It's all right.
I can extend. I got nothing going on.
Yeah,
so
all right.
Let's roll through the news break.
And besides, let's do this. We'll be right back with Greg Roberts, Mr. Outdoors, Mr. Heat, Mr. hurricane, whatever. I mean, you know, he's doing it all, right?
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
American Industrial Door invites you to see their Wayne Dalton wood grain finish collection. Transform your curb appeal with high-quality, non-repeating wood grain that looks like a real wood door. The innovative design blends the strength of steel with the timeless beauty of wood. Wayne Dalton offers a variety of simulated wood finishes and window configurations, too. Count on the quality of Wayne Dalton and the expert service and installation of American Industrial Door. Showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas and Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
3, 2, 1. Discount Fireworks Superstore. Get the same amount of fireworks for half the price. Twice the fireworks for the same price you pay at the other guys. All your favorites, sparklers, screaming patriots, ground blooms, and killer bees, at least 50% off. Over 250 items to choose from. Discount Fireworks Superstore has 6 locations in the valley. South Pacific Highway near Grange Co-op. West Main near Thunderbird. Ashland across from Butler Ford. Central Point across from Pilot. White City at Wilson Equipment. Grants Pass in the first tent on Rogue River Highway just east of Gun and Tackle. Plus Cape Junction on Redwood Highway and River Road. For a Discount Fireworks Superstore near you and free fireworks, visit DFSFireworks.com. Once again, for Discount Fireworks Superstore locations plus free fireworks, visit DFSFireworks.com. That's DFSFireworks.com. Remember, for free fireworks, visit DFSFireworks.com. Get the same amount of fireworks for half the price only at Discount Fireworks Superstore.
The Phil Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
Greg Roberts, the Outdoor Report, is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. We're talking the heat dome and everything else, kind of fireworks and baseball a little bit like that. And we bring Greg back on. And Greg, we have Lauren. Lauren, you were down in Red Bluff yesterday. Tell us about the Oroville situation. You were right up there close and personal. You're with Greg.
Yes, Greg. Right now I'm in Red Bluff getting ready to come home. But a couple questions I have for you to start with. It's been burning for 20 hours, and they have zero containment. And that, you know, I'm with D3 as a chaplain, but it just surprised me that they let it burn. And I've got several relatives that have been evacuated out of there, and I've been watching it on the TV down here. And so, just kind of get your opinion on 20 hours fire and zero containment, 3,000 acres.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm surprised it was that low in terms of the acreage, considering we were getting reports that it was growing at the rate of 400 to 500 acres per hour there for a while. Containment, what they're talking about is, I guarantee you there are scratch lines in, because the fire did lay down from the earlier activity last night. It absolutely did do that. But, you know, of course, is the fire out? No. So when you're talking about containment, what you're talking about are having lines in that, you know, you're confident the fire is not going to get over. So what they're saying is, no, we don't have any kind of a containment percentage on this fire yet, where we know the fire is not going to get over. The reservoir is up there. That is definitely going to act as a containment line.
Well, that's a pretty darn good fire break, the reservoir, okay?
Those types of things work.
Okay,
rivers work. Roads can work. But then again, you know, when you're looking at the type of fire behavior they were faced with, and the amount of forward progression due to spotting, that's another big issue. And so when you have to take all of your factors into consideration, when you're looking and going, how much containment do I really have on this fire? Cal Fire, yeah. I think they're doing the right thing by saying we got zero containment, because until and unless you know you've got the fire locked in any area that it can't possibly get over the line, don't talk about it being contained.
All right, so they're relatively conservative about that then. Lauren, you wanted to add something else in there quickly here. I got a bunch of people too. Okay, we want to get them all in.
It actually went across the dam, the Oroville Dam, that they thought
it did.
And they did a lot of structure support, but I think my nephew's place escaped, but within yards of where they showed the last line I could see when I went online with it. Wow. So anyway, just being here, I thought, well, I was listening to you down here, and I thought, I think I'll just check.
So, all right. Well, we appreciate that, Lauren. Thanks for the call. Okay, let me head over to Pete.
Loss.
Yeah.
They're not reporting what type. They're just saying there's been structure loss.
All right.
That's all we're getting.
All right, let's go to Pete in the North Valley. Pete, you wanted to talk about ODOT and I think the road issue. Go right ahead. Let's hear it.
Yes, this is Pete, North Valley. I was driving with the 5 from Rogue River to, actually from Gold Hill to Rogue River yesterday afternoon. What's up with ODOT? The grass in the center medium and on the side is between 2 foot plus. Why aren't they doing
anything?
I
noticed that same thing too, and I don't know what's going on there, because honestly, I've never seen them do that before. It's a head scratcher. I've been talking to my ODOT sources about other things, the state of Highway 230, for example. I did totally forget to bring that up, and thank you for the reminder. I am going to make some inquiries, because I've not seen that before. That's not, quote-unquote, the policy.
That would appear to be a real problem just waiting to happen, right? Just what
Absolutely
you've been talking about. All right. Hey, Pete, appreciate the call. And, someone called me yesterday and was talking about somebody who was in charge of that and gave me a name, and I lost my little Post-it note. I'll keep looking for it, and we'll see if we can get it back and make an inquiry, all right? Let me go to line 4 here. You've been holding here a little bit. And, hi, who's this? You're with Greg. Good morning.
This is Miner Dave.
Yes,
Greg,
Dave.
I thank you for your service and what you do.
Thanks, Dave.
I wanted to say is please, please don't light your fireworks off here in Siskiyou County. It is illegal except for the township of Montague, where they're going to have a show, and it's the only place where you'll get to see fireworks in Siskiyou County, and they're going to have a fair and a parade on tomorrow. So I would just suggest that people keep their fireworks in their
All right, Dave, I get it. Yeah, we're losing your phone there a little bit, but I think we get your intent.
My question is, and I might need to check on this, are they not going to do it at Mount Shasta City? Because Mount Shasta City, they have launched their fireworks over Lake Siskiyou forever.
I don't know about that. I was losing his phone, though.
I
was losing his cell. We sometimes have trouble getting into the Iron Gate there real well. The point is, I had someone writing yesterday, because I was talking with Ed Forsyth from Discount Fireworks Superstore, right?
Uh-huh.
He was in here, and of course, they're selling bang-up business right now, and rightly so. They do good stuff. And then people would write me about the danger of fireworks, and the fireworks cause a lot of fires, and I can't help but wonder, though, I found out that they don't really break up between the illegal fireworks. I can't help but think that the little sidewalk snakes are not causing the big conflagrations, but it's the stuff that's flying, the stuff that we're not supposed to be using. Now, you've been a firefighter out there, wildland firefighter. Could you confirm that or set me straight?
Any firework that is not used properly and according to directions and away from grass and brush.
Yeah.
Any firework can start a fire. However,
agreed.
The stuff being sold in the fireworks stands right now have far less of a record of it. Hence, they're legal because they don't eject anything up into the air with explosion. So like Roman candles, mm-hmm. anything that resembles a shell that goes off during a community 4th of July parade, or like we do with the River Dogs on the Fridays in June. Yeah, that kind of stuff, that's what I'm talking about. All of that, save it for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, the legal fireworks, it will only be as good as the people setting them off. But if people setting them off follow directions, meaning they're away from grass and brush, they have a hose at the ready just in case,
yep.
and they're on concrete and asphalt, the things being sold in the fireworks stands here in Oregon have real low incidences of causing serious fires.
Now, I remember my next...
Like I said, that's not to say they can't cause...
They can't, but you have to...
Being an idiot.
You just have to be an idiot, all right? We get that.
Right.
My former next-door neighbor, when I was living in Jacksonville a number of years ago, he was Native American, and he brought the stuff from the reservations. You know, the stuff and it's legal under federal law, but it wasn't legal under state law. And I gotta tell you, they were great fireworks, don't get me wrong, right?
Oh, yeah,
But man, I'm just thinking, man.
Up through Nevada.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not only is it known for brothels, every Indian reservation on Highway 95, besides casinos, has fireworks stands, and I mean real fireworks.
We're talking about the ones that set your neighborhood on fire, done improperly,
yep.
right? You know that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And he would send that, he would put that stuff off, and it's just like, okay, I'm just going to go inside. I don't want to be here when Jacksonville PD shows up, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of what I was thinking.
Well, and, you know, there's something else, and I put it up because I think it's hysterical. Jefferson County Sheriff over east of the Cascades, you know, agency I know well from my days at Redmond Fire, they put up this thing about when to call 911, when not to call 911. One of those things that's right at the very top of the don't call 911 list, my neighbors are lighting off fireworks.
They're just giving up,
it,
right?
It's so
there's no point
for them with the amount of illegals that go off. There's no way they can possibly get to that and be available for the true emergency situations.
Point well taken. All right. Hey, Greg, hang on for one more. We got a lot of people want to talk the weather and the fireworks and everything else. We'll be back.
Gotten to the hurricane thing.
I don't know if we will get to the hurricane. I don't know. We'll see. Hang on, all right?
Are you using extension cords outside? You likely need Completed Electric Plus to install an all-weather plug where it's most convenient. Need a plug for your power equipment? Completed. Pond pump? Completed. A string of lights on your pavilion? Completed. How about a TV on the patio? Completed Electric Plus installs electric plugs quickly, expertly, and affordably with certified technicians. Specializing in residential electric jobs, call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Rock This Town by Stray Cats was released in 1981 and peaked at number 9 on the singles chart. Millette Construction can relate to this song because we rock your town one building at a time by firming up and solidifying foundations, leveling floors, and fixing the water problems that cause instability. So don't let those cracks in walls make you scream and shout. Millette will rock your place inside out. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. By the way, Stray Cats may look and sound like they're from the UK, but they're actually from Long Island, New York.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call, and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit, 800-945-5577, 800-945-5577, 800-945-5577.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
It's 10 before 8. Man, I got to tell you, you know, Mr. Outdoors, or Mr. Heat, Mr. And we will get to the hurricane here, too. I had Eric Chelgren, who wrote me in. I guess he's hanging out in Star Valley, Wyoming right now. And it's 45 degrees there, so very pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the other crazy thing about this. We're going to be sizzling. I've been talking to people in Montana and Wyoming, and they're all like, hey, we would love some of that heat, because they're looking at forecast highs in the 60s in the daytime for 4th of July and right through the weekend, and the overnights, depending on your elevation point. I've got one friend of mine who is about 45 miles out of Cody up in the mountains, and he's saying we're probably going to be down in the 20s, maybe even upper teens.
Yep.
I was like, wow, you got
to
be kidding
me. Yeah, just bring the jacket, right? Bring the jacket and the winter coat to July 4th. Let me go to Gary. Gary, you over in Brookings, and is it cloudy there? I'm told that when it's really hot here, it gets cloudy out on the coast. What's going on with you today, huh? Hey, Gary? Gary, might help. I had trouble with the button. Try it again. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Morning, Greg. Morning, Bill. I'm in Maryland now, but I left Brookings a couple hours ago. When I started my shift last night, I left at midnight, and it was 75 degrees. And I just left there a couple hours ago, like I said, and it's still in the 70s, but there's not a cloud in the sky, but there is some wind blowing. The Chetco effect in full effect.
Yes, absolutely true. And I just pulled up the latest satellite imagery, the visible, and the normal coastal stratus, those low clouds you get over at the coast, they are way west of Brookings, I can tell you that. I see some isolated low cloud development up northern Curry, Coos counties, in the coast range itself, but otherwise, it is gin clear on the coast.
Will it be that way for maybe Crescent City and Brookings tomorrow? Because people, my boss was telling me yesterday, he says normally when it's hot here, Chetco, it's usually cloudy there, and they're worried if they're not going to be able to see the fireworks on the coast. Just curious.
Yeah, no, that's not looking like that's going to be a concern this year, because, we do indeed have a Chetco effect. I mean, I don't even really have to look at the stations to see it. I can see it in the visible.
Okay, very good. Let me go to Bob. Bob, quick one on a stupid fire set by a real stupid activity. Big fire. What was that?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Good morning, Craig. I love your commentary. Let us not forget the Columbia Gorge fire that was set off by a teenager that popped off a firecracker because he thought it'd be cute.
Yeah, no, for sure. Eagle Fire and that, they are still going through court because charges were filed, and it's spilling over onto the parents. But you know what? I mean, I'm sorry. Kids do dumb things.
Oh, yeah.
But when kids do really dumb things that have the kind of impact that that did, you got to own it, and you're going to wear the consequences of it.
All right. Hey, Bob, appreciate the call. All right, Greg, and since we're burning daylight, I got to make sure you got to go back to your other stuff here. We all got to move along here. But I've enjoyed the talk about just meandering around to everything crazy today. And what about the hurricane issue, the hyperventilating about their hurricanes? What is your overall take on that before we go on?
I'm going to make this shorter than I had planned on because our time is short. Okay. Hurricane record keeping, you're seeing references back to 1851. That's not true. There are anecdotal reports out of some areas that can go back to 1851, but true, real, detailed histories of hurricanes in the U.S. start in the 1930s. They're hyperventilating about how it rapidly developed and all of that, and that may be well be true, but for them to act like that's never happened before, we don't know that because we have only been observing hurricane development with satellites since the 1960s. And the good stuff that we have now has only been up in the air for the last 30 years. So there's a lot of supposition being made. And then they're also counting on people to be completely ignorant of hurricane history. And when they're proclaiming it was the first Category 4 in June ever, that is not, absolutely not true. That is a blatant lie. Because Hurricane Audrey that hit the Gulf Coast on June 27th, 1957, see, I learned things in my weather classes, people, was a Category 4. Do you know what? The government downgraded it to a Category 3 hurricane May 2016.
Now, why would they downgrade it after the fact? Is it kind of like how they changed the goalposts on temperature and climate and various other things, or what?
Absolutely.
Oh. So that way everything new is much worse because it fits an agenda.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It is the fear industry. They're milking it for money. They're milking it for power. The media, and this is a big reason why I was involved in it, and now I'm almost ashamed I was, except for playing music people loved and doing talk radio. But the TV stations, absolutely, I'm ashamed I was ever involved in it, because they will not do full disclosure and full information. They do not do it anymore. It's all about driving agendas, all of them.
That's too bad. I kind of thought that, but you hate hearing it confirmed. And it really comes down to it also when you're talking about the record keeping, too. The real good satellite technology the last 30 years, and we also know much more about a storm much more quickly than we ever did with all of that observation that we didn't have back in the day.
And here's the other thing, and there's a guy that I love, and he's an undergrad, but he is an amazingly sharp young man, Chris Martz Weather. Look him up on Facebook, because Chris is doing incredible detailed work. He is detailing the pressure, millibar pressure of Beryl, and comparing it to Audrey.
Mm-hmm.
Audrey was lower millibars of pressure than Beryl still is.
Interesting. And the lower the pressure, the more severe the hurricane, right? That's the lower pressure, right? Okay. All right. All right, Greg, take the rest of the week off. I will, and I'll talk to you next Friday. All righty?
Well, boy, that sure seems like a long time, but that's just the way the fates have aligned here.
All right. Hey, thanks a bunch.
Let's do it this way. If something breaks, you know, fire-wise or whatever-wise next week, and it's important to have a conversation, we'll leave it open to be able to do that if, you know, circumstances require.
And that's the way we'll keep it, all right? Thanks so much, Greg. Be well.
You got it, Bill.